It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, September 17th. I'm Patricia Naft. There were two separate shootings near Grand Junction in the past few days. A man was shot in Clifton early yesterday morning. The victim was found alive and brought to the hospital. The sheriff's department believes the man was targeted. Another shooting happened in Grand Junction late Monday night. City police arrested Howard J. Walker III on charges of first-degree assault, felony menacing, and possession of a weapon by a previous offender. A local food bank is on its way to build a new facility so it can better serve the Western Slope. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
Sharing Ministries is based out of Montrose. This is their executive director, Anita Doyle.
In the last 5 years, just in the amount of people needing additional supplemental help, we've seen an 87% increase in our area.
How many people do you serve?
In 2014, we distributed 900,000 pounds of food to about 71,000 client visits in 5 counties.
That's a lot of food.
It is a lot of food. And we were in a very small location, so we are a busy beehive there.
The location that they're in has become cramped over the years. They now use tractor trailers full of food. A couple of them are refrigerated for perishable food, but have to be powered 24/7 by diesel generators. To get out of this situation, they've been able to raise $1.4 million through grants and donations. With that, they're going to build a brand new facility, 3 times as large as their current one. And it means more than just space for food.
Right now, when we, especially during the first couple of weeks of the month and the last week of the month, we'll have a line around the outside of our building of people needing assistance. We have no waiting space for them. They have to wait outside. And so if it's 110 degrees outside, they're waiting in the sun. If there's 3 inches of snow outside, they're waiting in the snow. So our customers will be extremely excited.
Another thing Doyle's looking forward to is something that you might not think of for a food bank: fences and security cameras.
We've had trailers and vehicles stolen. We've had our gas tanks cut. We've had graffiti on our trailers. We've had our outdoor freezer, the iron door was taken off, and we've had things stolen from it. So it's not cost effective when you have a lot of vandalism. And so the secure fence and things like that will make a huge difference in our facility.
If they're able to raise the last money they need, they're planning on beginning construction January 1st. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Housing has become such an issue in Telluride that the town council is considering tiny homes. The Daily Planet reports that the council is open to the idea, especially with winter coming. Nothing was decided, though, as questions came up of how permanent the structures would be, as well as utilities and bathrooms. Slaughterhouses and meatpacking plants throughout the country employ a lot of people. About 250,000 workers in the U.S. stun, kill, and eviscerate the animals we eat. Many companies have gone to automated machines and robots to process and package food. But, as Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon reports, it still takes thousands of workers with knives and very little automation to keep a modern beef plant up and running.
This story begins at the end. At least the end for the cow, which at this point doesn't even resemble a once living thing. It's been trimmed down to tenderloins, roasts, and steaks.
We're walking through a meat cutting line through JBS here in Greeley, Colorado. There are workers in white frocks and white hats using hooks and knives to trim up some of the meat and get rid of the fat.
There's right at 850 people right out in this building alone.
That's the plant's manager, Bill Danley. He's on the floor, short for fabrication floor, where whole cattle carcasses become the neat and trim cuts of beef you get in restaurants and grocery stores. Hundreds of workers stand on raised platforms along conveyor belts, hanging carcasses stripped of skin inch along, strapped to a track above.
Like I said, that is a split carcass, that's a whole beef, and then we start the disassemble process out here on the fab floor.
Each person holds a knife in one hand, a sharpening steel to the side, and like a medieval warrior, every worker is besuited in what's really called chainmail, a protective mesh lining under blood-spattered white jackets.
You can kind of watch how they're boning this here. Very, very crucial they don't cut into that tenderloin.
The plant is a far cry from the butcher shops of yore, where a single person would need to know how to turn an entire animal into cuts of meat. Large beef companies like JBS, Cargill, and Tyson have turned each minute step of the process into a job. Danley lists some of the titles: a chuck boner, tender puller, back splitter, a knuckle dropper.
Man, there's a lot of jobs out here that prep for the other person.
Each year, this one plant pays out more than $100 million in paychecks to its 3,000 employees. It's a huge chunk of the company's operating costs. And while robots have revolutionized manufacturing industries across the globe, the beef industry has stubbornly held on to its workers. In the U.S., meatpacking plants are actually expected to add jobs in the next decade. But why not robots?
You can't do the fine cutting that you see on the fab floor. That's probably one of the big challenges right now.
That's JBS Beef Division President Bill Rupp.
And I mean, some of that meat is, gosh, $6, $10, $12, $14 a pound. And so the key is being able to leave it on the meat and not on the bone. I mean, that's how our business works, so.
Rupp says the company's looked at robots that use vision technology to slice and dice. But the key to butchery is touch, not sight, he says. And robots just can't feel how deep a bone is or expertly remove an intact filet mignon.
This is when you get into that detailed, skilled cutting. Robots aren't there yet. Someday, I'm sure they will be.
Workers are really cheaper than machines.
Don Stull studied the cultures of meatpacking towns at the University of Kansas for 30 years.
Machines have to be maintained. They have to be taken good care of. And that's not really true of workers. As long as there is a steady supply, the workers are relatively inexpensive.
Inexpensive because you don't need a ton of skills to butcher cattle in big plants these days. Turnover in the industry is high because of the physical demands. And there's a stream of immigrants and refugees ready to put on the chainmail and pick up the knife. Still says workers tend to transfer jobs at the same plant just to avoid falling apart.
You know, after you do the same thing thousands of times a day, 6 days a week in the summertime when beef plants are running at higher capacity, you know, your body wears down.
Meatpacking jobs consistently rank among the most hazardous in the country. Increased automation could ease some of those injuries, Stull says. But until technology catches up, meatpacking companies will continue hiring low-skill workers to cut up our meat. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.